You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 766, Legion of Superheroes number 70, Crush on You. Welcome to episode 766 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I am Paul French, and today I am a drive-in dad. Took my kids to the drive-in last night to see Flash and Spider-Verse 2 Electric Boogaloo. And
wow, both of them back-to-back?
Back-to-back,
That's a good double feature.
It's a great double bill. I'm surprised that they put Flash first, but that's a whole other thing.
Shorter?
No, more just the whole animated nature of it. Right. I just find that it's like an animated feature up front. You get a lot of people there with little kids, and then they pack up and go after the first movie. And so it just seemed odd that they were going that way second. I know it's a bit more mature than that, but it is definitely, it's a lot that is kid targeted about those. And I find that less so with The Flash, but you know. Anyway, it's funny just the different terminologies that the kids use. You know, we love the drive-in and we make a point of supporting it because we don't want it to not be here. It's a really good drive-in. And they do lots of fun stuff, and I mean their service is exceptional, and it's as drive-ins go, it's like it's nice to have it around, you know, mainly just so we went last night. Sarah fell asleep like three quarters of the way through Flash, and we tried to wake her up for the Spider-Man one, and she kind of woke up for a few seconds and then went back to sleep. And she still, like, in the morning, she didn't care that she missed one of the movies. She was just like, that was so fun. And you know, because it's all about the experience of it. And so but funny on the terminology side is, you know, Ella was like, so are we going to see the movie at the drive-thru tonight? And I'm drive-thru? You know, it takes a very long time, a very long time to watch the movie at the drive-thru, because, you know, you get through in that scene and then you got to get around and you're like, wait, did I miss a bit? And it just seems a very expensive way to go about it, especially with the way gas prices are today. So, yeah. Lots of fun, you know, in Flash, lots of bits that really went over the kids' heads. And especially, you know, when they got into the cameos, it's like most of it didn't land for them.
Yeah.
And even the sort of the final scene, not the post-credit scene, but the final scene of the actual movie. You know, it was kind of a, I don't get it. And so, you know, try not to spoil.
And that's why the DCU failed, hat forehead.
Without spoiling anything, the movie ending was shot three different ways. The first way was when it was still under the original Warner Brothers CEO.
Yeah.
And then after he left, somebody else came in briefly and said, no, I wanted to end a different way. So they shot that ending. And then when James Gunn came in, he said, no, I don't want that way. I wanted a different way. And so there are three different endings to the movie. It's not going to be like Clue where you just choose your own ending.
I was just gonna say.
but you can find the article out there. I think it's on Hollywood Reporter on why those particular endings happened the way they did and why they got cut, because they did get cut for very specific reasons, which we won't get into because this is opening weekend and
Absolutely. I it's messy. But there were, despite, you know, my personal distaste for the portrayal of the Flash, despite that, I was able to look past that for a lot of it and just enjoy it as a fun, goofy movie with time travel stuff in it. And and so my kid liked it, even though a lot of the things didn't land. And at the end, she was like, "I don't get it." Once I explained it to her, she was like, "Oh, okay." But you know, it's a move that requires explanation, and that's just the function of something that is, you know, literally built on a framework of nostalgia,
right?
And very little else. But that said, I thought there were some funny bits, and still enjoyed it. But I'm just like, is it my favorite Flash portrayal ever? Ooh, not by a long shot.
Yeah.
but kudos to DC for getting it out in the first place.
There we go. Good for them. They certainly, you know, they saved having to do the tax write down. So there's that. There is that. And God knows, given the absolutely, historically troubled production of that movie, that there was anything remotely coherent to put out is a wonder. And there's some people who worked really hard whose names we'll never know to make it happen. So, Travis, how are things in the South?
Hey everybody, this is Travis Illisor, and this weekend I was Destructive Cardboard Lad.
Oh.
So I was driving, I went to see family yesterday, it's Father's Day weekend, and so I was on my way to see my dad's in the morning, traveling on the interstate, and I was in the left lane, and in the right lane ahead of me was a pickup truck, and I saw like random crap kind of bouncing in the back of its truck, and then I saw something shoot up straight in the air, and it was a piece of cardboard. I'd say, how big a piece of cardboard was this? I don't know, about two or three feet long, maybe a foot wide. It wasn't huge, but I've seen cardboard just blow up in the air before, you know.
Sure.
And then it goes up, and then it comes down into my lane. It comes straight down, and I mean straight down, right at an angle to hit my windshield wiper and breaks it.
No!
Like, I just heard a giant pop, you know, and of course, my instinct, my eyes closed, my head went back a little bit because it was coming at the windshield.
Sure.
And so then I get to my dad's house, and of course it has been raining all day, every day, but it wasn't raining at the particular time when we were driving. Thank God. But I get there and I look, and the driver's side, the blade is completely gone. And the end of it, where you attach a new blade with the little hooks, is just shattered. And I was like, oh, crap, because first I thought, oh, I can go buy a new blade, not a big deal. But I'm looking at the end of it where the hooks are. You put a new blade on, and it's broken. And I was like, well, crap. And my dad came out, and I was telling him about it. He looked at it, and he said, oh, he's like, I don't know. He said, you're going to have to get a new arm. And I said, yeah, that's what I thought. So I go to calling around and call this one auto shop place, and they don't have one, but they're like, hey, there's one a couple hours away. We've got a guy that just runs parts to different stores. He can have it here probably about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, go for it. And so we're looking at, me and my dad are looking at what tools you need to like to replace the whole arm. Mm-hmm. We're doing all this, and my dad, like, I may not be a master mechanic, but my dad has like 99% of the stuff that needs done on a vehicle, he does it himself.
Yeah.
So he knows what he's talking about. So I'm trusting him completely.
Well,
they call later. They call actually pretty early, like 3 o'clock, and say, hey, your arm's here. All right, cool. Come over there. I get looking at the arm, and I'm like, this doesn't look like my arm. And we walk out there and we compare it and we're like, no, it's not the right one. And he's like, oh, they sent over some universal arm that they thought would work. I'm like, ah, crap. But then the guy from the auto parts place, he looks at it and he says, wait a second. And he reaches over and the part that shattered on the end.
Yeah.
He starts moving it and it just pops right off. Like, oh, he says, this is what you call a J-hook arm. He said, the whole thing that shattered is part of the actual blade attachment. He said, it's not a part of the arm. And so we got a new blade put on there. And that was that. And me and my dad are both idiots.
Oh, so the little plastic bit that was jammed in the J, you thought that was part of the actual.
Oh, it's metal. It wasn't plastic.
The arm. Oh.
It was actual metal that got broken. But yeah, I've never had a J hook arm on mine, so I had no idea. And neither of my dad. So we were both dumb. But we were very happy. It was like, oh,
at least it wasn't the. At least it was.
Uh-oh.
At least it wasn't a broken windshield.
Correct. Yeah.
At least it wasn't the windshield that broke.
Correct.
True.
So, anyway, so that was my little adventure. It sounded really bad, but it turned out to be not so bad. So, anyway, over to you, Michael.
Hi, everybody. This weekend, I am Flash Facts Lad in honor of the movie. In honor of the movie that opened this weekend, yes, it was not the blockbuster that Warner Brothers hoped, but I enjoyed it. It was the best DC movie of the year so far.
There you go. Absolutely. I'd say the best one of a few years.
But I'm not going to say anything about the movie itself because we already talked about that, other than the fact that there is a post-credit scene. So you got to wait all the way till the end of the movie. But instead, I'm going to mention a few flashbacks that I learned from reading comics as a kid that have stuck with me and even become actually relevant to my current life. So who said, you know, comics aren't educational?
Right.
So flashback number one, the Justice League satellite. Does anybody know what altitude that orbits at?
23,000 miles in geosynchronous orbit.
Pretty close. 22,300.
Oh, yes, yes, of course, yes. I meant to say the 300, but yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So in the comics, it orbits above Metropolis, but that's not how orbital mechanics actually work. It's geostationary, meaning in the fixed location, only over the equator. Otherwise, it makes like a figure eight ground track over the equator and goes as far north as Metropolis and as far south as however far north Metropolis is. However, it is 22,300 miles. That's the real altitude. And it wasn't until my sophomore year in college when we did the math using the equations to try and derive that number that showed, yes, it's actually 22,300 miles. And to say that I was shook when that number popped up in class was a bold statement.
I remember you telling me this at one point. Yes, that's awesome.
Another flash fact, the speed of light. Anybody know off the top of their head what the speed of light is?
One point something.
There's a one in there. That's correct.
Isn't it 193,000 miles per second?
186. You may be thinking of 93 million miles between the Earth and the sun.
I totally am conflating the two. You're absolutely right.
Okay. So yes, it has 186,000 miles per second. And I learned that from reading comics well before I learned it in physics.
Nice.
When you send a communication signal up to the space shuttle or space station or a spacecraft orbiting the moon,
Zoom.
Yes. You need to take into account the time delay. So, for example, the moon is 240,000 miles away. So a message sent from Houston to the crew takes about 1.3 seconds to get there. And then so you say it, and then there's a 1.3 second delay before they hear it. And then the same delay from when they speak it to when we get it.
Right.
On the space station, the signal has to go from from Mission Control Houston to White Sands, New Mexico, then up to a geostationary satellite, which we know is 22,300 miles, and then back down to the space station, which totals about 45,000 miles total, which means it takes about a half second for the voice signal to get there. And so if you're listening to any communications on NASA TV, you will notice that there is a half second delay. And that's where that comes from.
Very nice.
My third flash fact is I remember reading that Barry would don or doff his costume, and which I learned means to put on and take off.
Yeah.
I recall sometime during elementary school having to come up with a three-letter word as part of a vocabulary test, and I used the word don. But my teacher disallowed it because don is a person's
proper name. Yeah.
It's a proper name, and we weren't allowed to use proper names. So she had never heard the word don before, meaning to put on. And of course, it is common language now, and it's in the procedures and everything when the astronauts don and doff their spacesuits before going out in a spacewalk.
Nice.
So those are flash facts that I learned at a elementary school level that I wouldn't need or wouldn't actually learn probably until high school or college. So
very nice.
Yay for educational comics.
Absolutely. Now I'm like, I used to have a little flash fact bumper that we used for a little while back in the day.
And of course, with a little blue or green hand coming out of the caption box to explain what's going on.
Yes.
So flash facts, those are your flash facts of the day. And that's it for me. Over to you, Jim.
Very nice.
Hey, everyone. I'm Jim Purcell. And this week I am the world's oldest millennial turns 40 lad.
Gosh.
I turned 40 on Tuesday.
Happy
birthday. Finally happened.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
It's weird that I'm 40.
Not yet.
I still feel 25 at heart. Why I still read the funny books.
Yeah, I understand that because me too.
That was like back in 2006 for me. That was a long time ago.
I'm sorry, 25 was 2006 for you?
No, I think meant 40.
Oh, okay. 40. I was going to say, wait a second. For me, it wasn't that far. You know, it was only a year and a half after we started doing, not even a year and a half after we started doing the show. So, yeah. So, yes, this show has seen me through all of my 40s, in fact. And we begin with you, sir. That is awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And yes, it is the stuff that keeps us young that we keep doing. And that way no one will ever accuse us of such things.
Right.
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 Yeah. No, that's awesome. Happy birthday, buddy.
That's it for me. Really? I played a lot more Street Fighter last week. That's about it.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. All right. Let's... Everybody sit down for a rough and tumble session of Legion News. Do we have anything?
All right.
And with that. All righty then. So, in that case, we...
We can go right into it.
Do we have a section we need to do yet? No, we're good.
No, we're all done with collages, I think.
Until I think we've got one next week. So,
yep, one more, I think.
Yeah, we'll find more. There will be more. Don't you worry.
So, are you saying it will be in the history of the future?
I'm not segueing yet at all.
Oh, okay. Just checking. Yeah.
I wouldn't do that to you, buddy. Let's get through an issue first. So, Jim, take us away.
All right. Legion of Superheroes number 70. Crush on you. We got Andromeda grabbing Brainy by the collar, lifting him up in his lab. the test tubes because you know he's a smart guy. you know these two, they have chemistry.
Well played.
So cover credits as usual, Alan Davis pencils, Mark Farmer inks, Tom McCraw colors. Let's talk about a very rare, what I think is a Tom McCraw coloring mistake. Look at Andromeda's right leg, the upper part.
The upper part of her right leg.
Yeah, so you know she has that back flap on her costume, which you can see past the UPC box.
Which,
I believe it's colored like the leg at the top part. That's supposed to be the flap.
I think it might have been corrected in this digital version I'm looking at, because I... I see what you're talking about. That's why her thigh looks like it's massive.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Huh. So that's supposed to be blue back there, the back side of her leg.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the flap on the back.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, with her, who knows? She's thighs and inner thighs for days.
Even if it was just the flesh, it's colored very strangely then.
Well, it's got a big shine on it with that inner circle. Yeah. So that's definitely supposed to be a bit of a shiny bit.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Anyway, otherwise, beautiful. I like the cover. I like all Alan Davis's covers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alan Davis is a good one. So picking up where we left off last issue with, from when they found Andromeda in a pile. Here it comes. Okay. First page, title Beyond Belief. We see Andromeda in agony, and around her, we get the Legion roll call with Brainiac 5, Andromeda, who is shocked at her own situation. Shrinky Violet, Saturn Girl, Triad, Cosmic Boy, Spark, Kinetics, Aberration, and Excess.
Spark appears to be the only one happy about Andromeda getting...
Yeah, she's thrilled.
Yeah.
The pain comes in waves. One moment, she's the strongest mortal on the planet. The next, the weakest. And in between her seizures, she is able to only wonder one thing. Will she be the next Legionnaire to die? And we get our credits. Your Guide to the 30th Century. Tom Payer, Tom McCraw plot. Mark Waid dialogue. Jason Armstrong, guest pencils. Ron Boyd on inks. Pat Brasu. Brasso. Letters. Tom McCraw colors. Mike McCavney assists. And Casey Carlson on edits. All right, we're in Brainy's lab. Andromeda is on the slab, and Brainy is doing tests. The answer lies in the hands of a genius, an alien genius. That doesn't make the crisis any easier on her. There's that C word again. Brainy's saying, I wish Lyle were here. He's the biochemist, but he's off world with Cam. These are sensitive readings I'm taking, Andromeda. It must be possible not to squirm so violently. She's, of course, squirming and saying, says you, arg, pain. And Andromeda is from Daxum. Removed from the rays of their red sun, the Daxumites have an array of incredible powers not seen since the days of Superman. Powered or not, they have one weakness. Even a trace amount of common lead poisons their system, causing total biosystem breakdown that ends in death. In this age, there is no known cure for Daxamite lead poisoning, at least partially because Brainiac 5 has never bothered to look for one until now. Brainy says, the first thing I'll need is a blood sample. Normally, no syringe could penetrate your invulnerable skin, but using a projector that duplicates the radiation of your native sun, we can replace the normality with invulnerability. I suppose you're no longer accustomed to pain. Too bad. And he jabs her with a needle and just says, yow. It's okay. It's only a needle. Relax and it won't hurt so much. Oh, no. It's only a needle. Relax and it won't hurt so much. And Andromeda says, my transuit. Brainy says, we had to remove it. However, my lab is perfectly sterile. That means you're protected from. And she screams, your hands. And she swats Brainiac away. Don't touch me. You do, you alien freak, and I swear I'll... Ugh. And she grabs herself in pain, and Brandy says, you were saying? Frankly, I'm disappointed. I figured my motives would protect me from your xenophobic outbursts. I didn't think I'd have to rely on the projector wall as projector as well, as he beams the red sun lamp at her. Andromeda, Laurel, you only have hours to live. I might be able to save you. Try to be worth the effort. All right. And we are elsewhere. We are at the, I think, the EarthGov medical building. Triad is there talking to a doctor saying, all healed up, all healed, doc, and ready for action. Thanks for taking care of me. Before I go, though, I want to check in on Saturn Girl. And we see Imra. She's saying, Triad, yay! Everybody forgot me. No one ever comes to play, but you didn't forget. Oh, and she hugs Triad. And then she starts crying, saying, you're going away from me, too. I can hear you thinking it. You're going away. Triad says, what? Honey, I'm not leaving you. It's just time for me to check out. And then one of the blue probe orderlies comes in saying, Grife, just when we had her calm. She's shouting, you never liked me. None of you did. I heard all your thoughts. Then the orderly grabs her, saying, shush, shush. And Imra says, why do you hate me? Why? Triad says, Imra, we don't. Doc, what can we do? Doctor says, if only we knew. Best to leave. You're only upsetting her. Go. So now, I guess...
That doctor, a perfect forehead, lad.
Oh, it's... Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's gigantic. Like
that huge, that huge yeah. brow.
It's like an eight head.
Yeah.
All right. And we are now, I believe, in Legion HQ. And we see Kinetics hugging Excess. Kinetics says, I'm gone. Korlax awaits. Duh. Spark is saying, I hope you get your powers back, Kinetics. Shrinky Valor says, we'll miss you. And Kinetics is examining Spark's necklace, I think, and she says, hey, nice amulet. And Excess says, isn't it beautiful? She got it from her secret admirer.
Dun, dun, dun.
And Kinetics says, then I'll have to hurry back so I can help you figure out the secret. Violet, wait up. I'm not going away forever, you know. And you know, I'll miss you the most. So that's not the problem. What's bugging you? I feel weird about Andromeda. We had a bit of a run-in. You were with Andromeda. Violet says, and now she's so sick, I don't know what to do. And Kinetics says, well, I haven't seen Spark this perky since I met her. If you want to make Andromeda feel better, I'd say gifts work wonders. But with her, I'm not sure I'd waste my time. He's talking about Andromeda.
Mm-hmm. And we see that Spark got a necklace with a lightning charm on it.
Yes.
Didn't she get that last issue?
She got something. See, the thing is, there's two Secret Admirer plots going on right now, because I remember Aberration got a cactus from Ultra Boy. Well, I guess it's not really a Secret Admirer.
No. There's no secret there.
No. You remember Spark getting something last issue?
Yeah, I'll double check.
Yeah.
All right, so now Kaz is having a meeting. And Cosmic Boy, the United Planets takes its rash of injured Legionnaires very seriously. That's why I've volunteered to monitor the situation. Understood, Ambassador Wazo. But when we entered the Legion, we were never promised safety. Given the jobs we perform, danger is unavoidable. Must be the same said for bureaucratic supervision. And Ambassador Wazo, who is staring at her daughter, saying, get used to supervision, young man. You're not adults yet, no matter how late you stay out or how rebellious you could be. And we actually see Aberration's got tears in her eyes having to deal with this woman. Cosmic Boy says, ma'am, we do appreciate your concern, but I respectfully request that any problems you and your daughter are having not spill over into the important work you're doing here. Don't you dare take that tone with me, young man. You've just compounded your problem. This meeting is adjourned. I'll let you know when I've decided how to handle the Legion. And Kaz, Leviathan, and Aberration are exiting, saying, "Well, that could have gone worse. Couldn't it have?" Back in Brainy's lab, Laurel is still groggy, saying, "Can't you hurry?" And Brainy says, "Kaluans such as myself have a lifespan of 3 times beyond the galactic average. By that standard, I'm positively racing." She whispers, "I'm scared." "What? Nothing. Am I going to die?" Brainy says, "Again, I am a Kaluan. Kaluans are the most intelligent humanoids in the known universe. You are lucky enough to have one devoted solely and exclusively to your problem. Someone with your intellect lacking faith in my prowess is akin to a dog lacking faith in his master." "What?" "I am a Daxamite. How can a green-skinned weakling like you possibly belittle my genetic makeup?" "My genetic makeup makes me smart enough to stay out of trouble. What were you doing to get in this mess?" So Laurel's is explaining her, giving her story, saying, "It started the night we saw 3 lowlifes perform a hit and run on a street freak." And we get a editor's box saying back in Legionnaires 23. And we see it's back at the club scene. And we see Laurel chasing down the creeps. And she's saying, "I figured I'd put them away, but I decided to go easy on them. Without telling the Legion, I let them go after they promised never to harass others again. They lied." And then we see Triad, one of her copies, laid out on the street with the white triangle spray painted over her. And Laurel continues saying, they nearly killed Triad. Damn them." Fun. All right, and Brainy says, "Interesting. You're saying an attack on a mongrel like Triad bothered you." "Huh. What bothered me was that these 3 creeps deliberately defied me. I thought I could put my anger behind me, but then that little Moat Violent noticed I'd filed no arrest reports on the 3. So while the rest of you were fighting the composite man, I decided to kick those punks' butts." And we're getting scenes back from the composite man fight, right, including that bit where Laurel was ordered to get as far away as possible so that he couldn't copy her powers. We see a psychic projection of Saturn Girl saying, "Andy, keep moving. We can't risk the composite man copying your powers." And then Dharma saying, I know. I've got unfinished business to take care of anyway. I'm gone." She flies off into Metropolis, and Brainy's asking, "How did you know where to find them?" "I kept my eyes and ears open," and we see her using her x-ray vision to spy on basically everyone. And she finds who she's looking for. "There," she thinks. I recognize their white triangle insignia." And Brainy says, "From where?" And she says, "From home. Triangle symbolizes a Daxamite faction dedicated to protecting radical purity, or racial purity." Yes, racial. "That faction has adopted and funded separatists on many worlds. They're used to spread the triangle's doctrine and destroy the United Planets." "So these were Daxamites you found?" "No, just Earthers dedicated to the cause. But because of their Daxam connections, they knew just how to take me down." We see him using some sort of device to damage her transuit. And in the flashback, Laurel says, "My transuit!" And then she cuts loose with her laser vision. And she says, continues narrating, "Almost immediately I felt the fever. I'd been poisoned with lead. And I'd burned even hotter than the words those Nas had spat at me." And we see one of those Nas heads saying, "You're a traitor, girl, to your whole race." And Brainy asks back in their lab, "So, are you a traitor to your race?" She says, "Yes, no, I don't know." Brainy asks, "Do you hate other races? You do hate other races, correct?"
I find it interesting, Brainy being kind of the counselor of all people.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just an interesting thing.
He's just being analytic about it.
You're not wrong. It's just of all people to be dealing about with something that is very tied to emotion. He's an interesting one. Then again, if you're looking at using sort of the various you know, styles of persuasion. The appeal to logic is perhaps his strong suit. Anyway.
Yeah,
and he's the first one Andromeda's chose to open up to as well.
Very good point. Yeah.
True. She's admitting a lot here.
Yeah.
Probably because she's dying. You do hate other races, correct? It's not hate. It's love. Love for my own kind. That's a rather short-sighted perspective. Just the kind of thing I'd expect from a Daxamite. Oh. Excuse me? What is that supposed to mean? Hold that thought. If that's something you can do, we've got something. We've got something here.
Wow.
I love how he insults with every statement.
Yes.
Hold that thought if that's something you can do. Everyone is such an inferior intellect to him. Brainy.
And we see Shrinking Violet entering what appears to be Andromeda's quarters. She's saying, a gift, Connect said. I'll leave it in Andy's quarters. Brainy says Andromeda's a death's door. Does she think I blame her for what happened to Triad? I hope not. I probably shouldn't. I don't understand how Andy's mind works, but she's obviously got enough problems without my adding to them. Maybe if I clean up her room a little, she'll... She starts tidying up and knocks something loose, and she's saying, what's this hidden among the hollows? I really shouldn't snoop, but if it's what I think it is, and she discovers something back behind the bookshelf, and she continues thinking to herself, then I understand how our mind works all too well. Huh. And we're back in Brini's lab, and he's saying, I don't believe it. My own ancestor found what I was looking for 1,000 years ago. And we see a picture of Vrildrox on his monitor. Yeah, LEGIN. Nice.
There symbol. We go. Crossover.
What appears to be his who's who entry.
It does, doesn't it? Or at least his secret file.
Yeah. According to Kaluan records, Vrildrox II created an anti-lead serum for the legendary hero Largand, aka Valor. My ancestor. Really? Are you certain? Over the last 10 centuries, Gand has become quite the common name on Daxam. I know what I know, Dox. You're not honestly claiming that the mighty Valor was indebted to one of your kind. Brainy says, how about that? It seems Kaluans are rather high in the chain of being after all, eh? How smart do you suppose Daxamites were 1,000 years ago? Shut up. Just shut up and cure me, Kaluan, or let me die in peace.
She's coughing up blood at this point.
Yes, yeah. She is getting much worse. And Brainy says, I may have to. What? I've unearthed the specifications on Valor Serum. As presently constituted, however, it won't work on you. I've got to find a way to match serum to match your individual genetic makeup. Individual? And Brainy says, it seems we are all individuals, even genetically speaking. Surprised? She coughs. She contemplates and says, yes. Brainy says, yes? Yes to what? She says, yes, I'm surprised. That's not how I was taught. I grew up in a triangle village, sort of settlement camp. It was exiled by choice. Far away in the cities of Daxam, children were taught the lie of Valor, of how he seeded the worlds, and that the many species that sprang from this supposed common ancestry, our only hope for a proper education was to forsake society, to live apart. Our parents sacrificed their social positions so that we might know the truth, share it among our own kind. Until I reached the age of 16, I never even saw a real alien, until my draft notice arrived. It seemed the Gand family still possessed enough social clout to pull some strings. After a preliminary round of simulations, I would be sent to Earth to represent Daxam in the Legion. I would gain superpowers, but at a price. Through all this, we are seeing basically images of her home. I see a R2-D2 droid in the background there.
Yes.
But basically, this is just a... cult camp with a lot of brainwashing going on. And Brainy says, Brainy basically completes her sentence saying, And the price is you have to put up with trash like me, right? Well, I believe this piece of trash has found your cure. He says, then shut up and give it to me. Granny says, very well. But first you have to do something for me. What? Say I'm superior. What? Never. Come on, just admit that my greater intellect and that of my Kaluan ancestors made this medical breakthrough possible. I won't do it. Very well. Then look me in the eye and tell me I'm inferior. And she says, I can't. Damn right you can't. And he hands her the vial, which she gulps down as Brainy walks away.
Mm-hmm.
And as Brainy walks out the doors, they close behind him. And she reaches out and says, Brainy, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And then we cut back to the rest of the Legion. And Cam is saying, is Nas Toby Beck lol? I guess Invisible Kid saying, yeah, Cam, nice. Yes, and he's pointing at his glove. I don't know. I don't know if we're supposed to know what he's actually saying.
I feel like it is Nas to be back.
It's nice to be back, Lyle.
Yeah, it's nice to be back.
Okay. Oh.
Still pretty messy.
Yeah.
All right. Kaz is saying, go ahead.
No, I just said he's getting there. Before he couldn't understand at all. He's saying, yep. I forgot how long this took before he was speaking, where we could understand him completely. Right?
Yeah.
Kaz is saying, Triad, on behalf of us, I'd like to welcome all of you back to the team. And he's shaking hands with Triad. And she says, thanks, Kaz. We couldn't wait to come home.
Yay.
Spark is consoling Aberration. And she's saying, Tinya, quit moping. She's only your mom, for Grife's sakes. We're your friends. Aberration says, right, and you're all at her mercy. Kaz says, anyone hear any word on our other casualty? And Visible Kid says, I just talked to Brainy. I don't know what happened between those two. He's been pretty tight-lipped about it, but he says she's resting comfortably. From off-panel, we see a not too comfortably, I hope. And Shrieky Violet suddenly pops up, having shrunk down. Now she's regular size, and which surprises Leviathan, who says, ah, Violet, don't do that. And she says, I just took a peek through Andromeda's quarters, and if what I found means what I think it does, and she's holding up the thing she found, and It turns out it is a white triangle on a string as a necklace. She says, we have a traitor in the fold.
Take a drink
for Legion traitors.
Also, I want to note that I love the use of the smaller font with Violet.
Yeah.
Even when she is like, she's taking a moment, she is speaking up here. It's still that smaller font. Her voice is still quieter. She is still ill at ease. But, you know, here she is. You know what? Darren would point out, this is evidence of the Legion espionage squad.
Yeah.
Because that's where she's at here. And it's just, you know, it's great use of her as a character. And I love the fact that she is uneasy with a lot of this stuff, but she's like, got to do what's right for the team. That's really great. I love it. Well, what could possibly be happening here? It is not good. It is not good at all. Well,
that's it for this issue.
Yeah. I mean, it just shows that those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. So, Michael, how can you help us not be doomed to repeat this week in Legion history?
That was a good segue there.
Shocking.
That was not forced at all.
That make him repeat himself.
No.
Historically speaking, this issue was on sale May 9th, 1995.
Wow.
And it takes place on July 5th, $29.94, which was the day after the previous issue. So this week in Legion history, we have to go all the way back to 1953, 70 years ago.
Wow.
In Adventure Comics number 191, in this issue, a juvenile delinquent who is a physical double for Clark Kent escapes to Smallville and is unwittingly taken in by Martha Kent. Superboy then goes off to capture Johnny Larson's gang using the power of the sun. If this sounds familiar, this story was reused 8 years later in a twice told tale for Adventure Comics 290 to introduce Sunboy. So this one, there is actually no Legion content, but this is one of the Superboy stories that was recycled and then updated to include a Legionnaire. Just like there was a story where Lana accompanied Superboy and there was Mars Boy. And that story was later recycled for the introduction of Starboy.
And also his introduction. Yeah.
And is also his introduction.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It is. Let's not be fair. Let's not be unfair.
That's true. 50 years ago in 1973, Superboy number 197, although he was thought dead from an earlier untold adventure, yes, Timberwolf is back to rejoin the Legion, but a secret enemy plans to use him to assassinate President Boltax. Starting with this issue, the Legion becomes the lead feature in the Superboy title.
Mm-hmm.
And we covered that one in episode 255.
Oh, that's awesome.
45 years ago, 1978, Superboy and Legion number 243. While the Kuns batter Earth's defenses during Earth War, the Legion must guard the delegates at Weber's World, leaving the substitute heroes to defend the planet. And that was episode 459. 40 years ago, 1983, Legion Volume 2, Annual Number 2. As Princess Projectra and Karate Kid prepare to be married, some of the Legionnaires become lost in time while heading to Orlando for the royal wedding. And that was covered back in episode 107. 35 years ago, in 1988, Legion Volume 3, Number 51. After the events against the Time Trapper, Polar Boy is inclined to charge Brainiac 5 with breaking a constitutional law of no killing another sentient being.
Nice.
Polar Boy believes that sentient being was Jackson Rugarth, a.k.a. the Infinite Man. The trial occurs and the Legionnaires vote for Brainiac 5's acquittal. However, Brainy makes motions to leave the Legion and does so. Meanwhile, an injured Mon-El makes a most necessary back to his homeworld. And that was episode 401.
That is such a great issue. Like that just that little period of time. Ah, God, I love it so much. It is really them dealing with all of these big consequences of being a Legionnaire and dealing with this foe that has always proven, you know, they've often won the battle to only to lose the war. And just the fallout of it, like that bit, I never expected, right? Like this idea that, yeah, he did technically break the Legion code in doing that. And it never occurred to me until there we were in the middle of the issue. And it's like, oh, that's a really good point. It's such a great story.
Is that when he put Stargrave in a force field and then he blew himself up?
No, that's a different story. This is the one. This is after the conspiracy with the Time Trapper, and they bring in the Infinite Man to fight the Time Trapper.
Right. So that killed the Infinite Man by using
him. Allegedly.
Right.
At least for now.
Yeah. I mean,
for now,
when time traveling villains disappear into the time stream, it's hard to didn't we return him home?
he's either going to end up a hand at the beginning of time or the Time Trapper at the end of time. There's only two choices.
It's one or the other. Absolutely, everyone has been both, so fair point.
Also that same day in 1988, we had Who's Who Update 88 number three with a new entry for Quizlet. Mm. 30 years ago in 1993, Legion Volume 4, number 46, the Legion's fight against Mordru zombies still wages on, yeah, this time against dead Legionnaires. And that was episode 656.
Wow.
25 years ago in 1998, Legion Volume 4, number 107, Dark Circle Rising, part 4. The ranks of the Legion had been weakened, making the time ripe for an attack by a Durlan with the powers of all the Legionnaires. Sorry, spoiler for the return of Composite Man, coming in summer 2026. Sorry. 15 years ago, 2008, DC Wildstorm Dream War, number 3. Our heroes find out they're on the same side after all, but tensions remain high as the heavy hitters, the JLA, Wildcats, Teen Titans, the Legion, and the Authority, still don't care for each other at all. But they're willing to work together if that's what it takes to save the world, as massive damage is occurring on an unprecedented scale. Hate each other as they might, they're forced to work together for common good, which is par for the course in the six-issue miniseries. The first fight each other, and then the next couple, they team up, and then you have the third act where they win. Also in 2008, Green Lantern, the Sinestro Corps War Volume 2, which reprints, among other things, Green Lantern Volume 4, number 25, in which we have Starman with the JSA, plus So Damn Yet and Superboy Prime. 10 years ago, 2013, Legion Volume 7, number 21. The New 52 Legion is overwhelmed and on the edge of defeat at the hands of the fully formed Fatal Five. Is there any hope left? The ultimate story of superhero survival continues. And that was episode 246.
Ooh, one before 247.
5 years ago in 2018. That's right.
Yes.
5 years ago in 2018, we have the season 3 finale of the Supergirl series. And there's a lot going on that actually involves the Legion. So even though we're not going to review that episode itself, I'll tell you what's going on. As the terraforming of Earth goes on, National City and the Earth are hit by natural disasters. Supergirl, Mon-El, Guardian, Alex, and Allura help out people in any way they can, getting support from Imra and Brainy at the DEO. Mon-El thanks Imra for coming, but after a discussion, she tells him that being away from him has made her realize their marriage was never what it should have been, and they annul their marriage but remain as friends and teammates. Later, Brainy tells Mon-El and Wynn that the future needs them both. Even though the Legion stopped the birth of the Blight, a new threat in the form of Brainy's distant ancestor will come to terrorize the future. And Brainy's presence would be too risky for him to be there. So he tells Wynn to take his place at the Legion, as his intellect, while small compared to Brainy, is exactly what's needed to fight this threat. The fight with Rain continues. She uses her heat vision to cause the deaths of Mon-El and others, but Supergirl goes back in time to prevent their deaths. Stop us if you've heard this plot before.
And stop us if you hear it again.
Yes. Everybody returns to the DEO, where Wynn has agreed to go to the future and join the Legion. Kara and Mon-El talk, and finally they get closure on their relationship. They will always love each other, but the duty they have in their own times is more important. Hera and Mon-El part on good terms, and Mon-El gives her his ring, his Legion flight ring, to remember him, just like Kara gave him her necklace. And this is basically the end of Mon-El in the Supergirl series. However, it worked out for the two of them because the two actors got married and they have a kid already.
There you go. That's true.
So and then Wynn goes to the future. He marries Ayla. They have a kid. And he takes his name as a Legionnaire as Toy Man. But we don't find that stuff for another few years when there he returns. Go. And so that is it for what for this week in what happened and what will have been going to have happened in Legion history.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, there we have it. And that is this week in Legion history. We have taken you through issue 70. Did you know that next week we'll be doing the Legionnaires issue, and it is when the Legionnaires book went Mendo. So basically they got to use fancy paper, because I guess it was more of a newsstand title before. So hooray for them.
I didn't remember that.
They go Mando, which is the enhanced paper stock that means more variety of colors, increased special effects. And he said, and believe me, this book uses them. And just in time, too, the Legionnaires can use some good news, especially since Apparition's problems with Ultra Boy continue. The UP is demanding the resignation of some Legionnaires, and Brand's Stargates are under attack by a group of mega-powered Daxamites. It sure doesn't sound good. Hopefully Tom's Pyre and McCraw, I like that, Tom's Pyre and McCraw, I like that. Guest penciler Mike Collins, who's helping out while Jeff Moy tackles the upcoming Legionnaires annual, W.C. Karani, Pat Russo, Casey, and yours truly can sort it out, not me, actually, Mike McAvaney, can sort it all out in Legionnaires 27.
And I do want to make the distinction between the Legionnaires going Mando and going Commando.
Big yes, difference. That's right. That's right. It's assumed that they aren't wearing underwear under those costumes because they're wearing underwear outside those costumes. And they are also, they are not joining the cast of The Mandalorian. That would cross the stream. Yet.
Cross too many streams.
Fair. It would cross the streams. And as we learned from Ghostbusters, you can't do that.
On television.
Oh no, I just got slimed.
Now we've got another crossover.
Oh man. All right. Well, best I can do then is to draw all of this to a close. Folks, comments, as always, are welcome at Legion of Substitute Podcasters at gmail.com. We are on the Facebooks, where you can join the conversation at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. We're also on the Twitter, where we are LOSP Podcast. And in addition to all those things, you can head over to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. You can leave a comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble. And God knows what Violet's going to find in my cabin. It's really just embarrassing.
Hopefully nothing.
No, well, certainly nothing. Certainly nothing racist, but I'm more worried about her finding some mullet pictures. So we will see you all next week. Alrighty then. All right, little mouse pointer, where are you? There you are. Again, stop button.